So humor, it's one of those things, right, where we just don't do it enough. We don't laugh enough. Why is it so important to add humor to your life? That's coming up in part three with Courtney McDermott. You have found yourself right here and now, as we are about to say, in the middle of the sandwich. This is where all the good stuff is. And I don't know about you, but like I said in part one, I super suck at time management. I just am easily distracted. It's like I need somebody to tell me what to do at every moment, or I just get lost. Like, it's bad. I'm not even joking. I have to use so many tools to keep me focused throughout the day, and we're going to walk through some of those. Plus, our expert, Courtney McDermott, is going to break down her tool chest of time management skills. This is going to be an unbelievable episode. I'm so happy you're here. We're going to get to that podcast right after a word from our resource partners. Hang on.
You've probably heard me say this before, but most of the things that kill us are preventable, and that's exactly why I put my heart in his hands, in his care. I'm talking about Dr. Robert Todd Hurst and HealthSpan MD. He's my cardiologist because I appreciate his holistic approach to heart health. There's nothing out there like HealthSpan MD, his AFib reversal program, his CAD reversal program. Get the link on the resources page at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com. So almost every week of my life for the last 2 years, somebody will ask me about the retreat that changed my life. And I'm so proud to present Spirit Quest as one of our official resource partners. Founded in 2007, it's the holistic wellness center that changed my life, helped me overcome anxiety, helped me work through conflict, gave me all these tools to manage stress. And they would love to do the same thing for you. To connect to Spirit Quest, click the link on our resources tab at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com. And when you get on the phone with them, make sure you mention that you heard it on Learn From People Who Lived It.
Find Learn From People Who Lived It wherever you get podcasts. Search it using all one word, Learn From People Who Lived It.
Welcome to another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It.
So welcome to Learn From People Who Lived It. I'm Matthew Blades. Courtney McDermott is back with us today because we're in the middle of a three-part series, and we're right here in the middle. We're in the sandwich portion of it, the meat, the lettuce, the tomatoes, the mayo, where all the good stuff is. And today we're going to be talking about time management. And I mentioned in our part one series that this podcast is for anybody who, similar to me, ties their value to their productivity. And so I want to ask you, Courtney, as we begin today, are you somebody who ties your value to your productivity?
I used to be.
Let's walk that through. Go ahead.
I definitely used to be. I used to run around and say, oh, I'm so busy and I've got all these things to do and all that. And at a certain point, I really do think it was from one day to the next, pretty much, I removed the word busy from my lexicon.
Okay.
I actually started saying busy is for bees. I don't do busy. I'm not busy. And I flipped my relationship with time, which I'm sure we'll talk about here just a little bit. I started to focus on the things that were really important for me. And then somehow it seemed almost as if time expanded. And I'll again get into that because I realized later when I was trying to figure out, how did this happen for me? How did I go from doing, racing, all these things to relatively very little on my plate, yet somehow, I don't even know if I should say creating, because it's all already kind of like in creation, but let's say bringing things in. And and yes, there is a action, but in an it's an internally motivated, kind of like intrinsically motivated action. So it doesn't feel restless. It doesn't feel tiring. And it doesn't take me nearly as long either, because it's coming from a different, it's almost coming from that source energy, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And so I'm going to press even a little harder here and say, okay, well then if what are you suggesting? That I just get lazy, that I just go sit on the couch and like, I just go have coffee with my girlfriends and like help me understand this a little bit more. What are you asking me to do?
No, actually, it's quite the opposite. It's quite the opposite because at the beginning, what I'm talking about will take an enormous amount of effort. It's almost like a, or I should say, an enormous amount of resetting, like resetting your whole system. Because right now, we're sort of, I want to say for whatever reason, the words are coming like almost on crack, like with our phones and all the things and all the things
we're
on crack. Do and all this
we're 100%
stuff
that, like, on crack. Yes, 100% on crack.
So many people are on crack. And yeah. I don't even know if I've ever I don't even know if I've ever seen anyone on crack, but I'm just saying it feels like on speed, like all this stuff and figuring it out. And what I'm suggesting is pretty radical. It's also very simple, but it's the opposite of doing a lot. And it doesn't mean, oh no, now I'm going to sit on my laurels and like watch TV all day. It's actually what we were talking about. It harkens back to what we were talking about in the previous episode of I'm going to get quiet. I'm actually going to start and end my day with intention for a change. Like I'm actually not going to check my phone first thing. And maybe you go with this slow. I'm not saying, you know, Warren Buffett said something like, don't test the depths of the water with both feet. You know, you don't have to jump into the deep end and find yourself drowning, right? It's you can do this piecemeal a little bit at a time, gain ground, and you'll start to see this reversal of time that I'm talking about in the ways that you live time. Like I honestly, every single day, pretty much feel like I lived a whole week at least. And at the end of a year, I'm like, whoa, that was years. That was lifetimes that I lived this year. So many things, so many beautiful people, so many situations, so many things transpired. But the actual, there's not what used to be there of the anxiety. Now, I want to get a little more specific so people can understand when I say it's not just get quiet, but it's also really focusing on things that are important to you, that are important specifically to you, and that you may have been putting off, and kind of using some of that prime real estate in your day. Specifically, again, I'm talking about the morning and the night, but it could also be anytime you wake up from a nap. I mean, some of our most brilliant inventors and thinkers, they would always take a nap when they were struggling with something, and it would be a quick nap, and then they would get the answer, like Eureka, right? They wake up because why? Because they're dipping into other frequencies, right? We're moving automatically into frequencies like theta, you know, where we could be a little awake and a little asleep, but then boom, something comes through to us, right? So I think getting really mindful about how you're using your time. And this is not to beat yourself up, mind you. And I talk a lot about these different dimensions of time in my book, but you kind of got to start to take a little bit of inventory and get honest with yourself of like, oh, am I distracted most of the time? Am I deluding myself into thinking this is something really important? Am I living in a hyper state of demand where I think everything has urgency when in reality it doesn't? Or am I actually in a state of, like I said, I am acting, I'm action. There's action happening through me, but there's this intrinsically guided, motivated action, which feels very, very different. So yeah, we can talk more about any of that.
Yeah, okay. So step one, if we're declaring steps, could be something similar to get quiet and intentional in the morning. And I love to tell people, give the morning to you. Like, yeah. So many of us wake up and we go right for this stupid thing. And like immediately you've given your morning to somebody else. Immediately you've given your morning to the post on Instagram, to the email from so-and-so, to the text message from, you know, one of your friends. And that's fine. You can like all these people, but stop giving your mornings to them. Give your morning to yourself. And okay, hold on. Easier said than done, because I'm in this lane of what I like to call blue collar therapy, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like, if you think about the blue collar lifestyle, it's like, well, I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to have to get my family together, get my kids out the door, get them to school, then I got to get myself ready. Then I got to go to my job, or I'll go to, you know, I'll be at my job for 8 hours a day. I'll have my little 1 hour break maybe for lunch. And then I'll come home, and then it's homework, and I got to make dinner, and I got to get the kids to their activities. And oh yeah, I'm supposed to take time for me and my spouse too. And we're supposed to hang out and connect and chill together. And then you do all these things, and it's 11, you're exhausted, and your day sucks. Okay. So let's take that person who just is busy, to use your words earlier, really busy, got a lot going on every single day. And how would you recommend they get quiet or get intentional in the morning if they've got a pretty busy start when it gets going?
Yeah, this is the hardest. And I remember being in a very similar situation myself. And I, at that time, I actually just started noticing where were those pockets in my day, little pieces where I could try to take that time just to start.
Okay.
And the first time this happened to me, and it kind of blew me away, actually, I was in my corporate job. I was sitting behind my computer. I was doing all the things. I was eating a sandwich, I think, while I was, you know, typing out an email, and then right. Someone was coming into my office, asked me whatever, you know, it was chaos. And I remember thinking, okay, every day I say I'm going to like take a walk around the block here, and every day I end up just doing this. So maybe today I'll actually do it. And I just got up from my, and it wasn't even, I didn't even think that through that way that I'm saying it. That just sort of spontaneously was like, get your butt up and go for that little walk that you said, right? And I did. I went for that walk. And then when I got back, I did something really curious. Like I had this, again, almost, I can't even say that it was a voice, but it was like just the knowing to just turn my phone off for a little bit. And I closed my office door, turned my phone off. Okay, we don't always have that luxury, but you know, you could, if you're in corporate, you could rent out a conference room for a couple minutes, you know, whatever it looks like, but or book it out. But you can find these little spaces. And what happened to me when I did that actually was, instead of going back to my email, which I once heard of as the best way I ever heard it defined was a great organizing mechanism for other people's priorities.
Right.
Okay. So instead of going back to my email and all that other noise in my phone or email, I decided that I was going to work on this project that I had been putting off for a long time. Like I knew it was important, but it wasn't urgent and I had been putting it off. And I'm telling you, it was kind of almost miraculous because I got through this thing and it was a great result. I remember I presented it to my company and everything. Everybody was really happy. But the cool thing was I went home right after that. I just, normally I would have stayed longer, whatever. I just went back home. And I was just, again, it was that kind of relax. Like, it's okay. Just sort of, yeah, there are all these things going on. And you also can just take a moment, take a breath. Maybe get outside if you can, turn something off for a few minutes so you can actually address that thing you've been putting off. And you'll find your own pockets for this. Like, I think it's really hard when people, especially when they start out the new year and they're thinking, oh man, now I got to do all these things and I got to change all this stuff and I got to do a radical, you know, new me or whatever. And that never really works because it sets off alarms all throughout, you know, just the way that we're built. It's not normally going to work unless you've been in a really dire situation and this is like, you know, life or death type of thing. But for most of us, it's going to work maybe for a couple of days and then we're going to fall back into our same routine. So one of the things I would highly suggest is like, start small where you can. Just notice, like you'll start to notice more, you'll find more spaces. And then the thing that's critical about like the morning and the night, especially just those first minutes, is that frequency question that we were talking about. Because a lot of us can't take the whole morning or we can't take a big chunk in the evening, whatever. We got all this other stuff going on, fine. You'll notice that you'll start to be able to take more of it when you are taking advantage of that prime time. Because there really is a prime time. Your organism is at its optimal, right? That like when, especially when you wake up, and it's just a few minutes. But you can bet your bottom dollar that if in those few minutes you reach over for your phone, you start, you know, waking up, like to your point, with other people's priorities, all of a sudden that sense of overwhelm and anxiety and frustration about not being able to get done what you got done is augmented, because the moment that your brain is most programmable. This is what we have to pause on this point. Your brain is most programmable first thing in the morning and last thing at night, or right before you doze off and right when you come out of sleep, period. And you're just in a different brainwave frequency. You know, you're coming, if you're waking up, you're coming out of delta, you're going into theta, you're going into beta, you're going into alpha. It's just what is happening mechanically in your body. So understanding like, hey, if I spend those first minutes looking at this stuff, it's a surefire recipe for that. But I'm talking like 5-10 minutes to go outside and look up and activate serotonin from the sky rather than your phone. I'm not talking about like hours,
right?
But finding those pockets and honoring yourself enough, deciding that enough, like I don't have to live in anxiety and overwhelm, and I don't have to glorify busy. I think if our society stopped glorifying busy, we'd be in a much, much, much better place. Like there's nothing glorious about being busy. There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing even very productive about it. It's just, for me,
it's
I'm bored. I'm bored by it. Like I have sometimes people will call me and they say, oh, I have this point and that point and whatever. And I'm like, okay, fine. Like I'm here. We'll see each other when we see each other. Like,
yeah. Right.
You know? And I just find it at this point amusing, but also something that, you know, we can let go of that, I think. Time.
So and today's podcast is all about time management, and it's all about putting time into your day for the things that are important to you. And so, you know, one of the things that I had to do is because I decided meditation was a key ingredient in my day. And even when I had my radio morning show, my morning radio show, I mean, listen, my alarm clock went off at 3:15 in the morning. That's not normal. And it went off at 3:15 in the morning because if I woke up at 4 in the morning, which I would have preferred, I would not have been able to give my morning to me. Mm-hmm. I would have woken up and I would have given it to somebody else right away. And so I know without question that when I started turning the alarm clock back 45 minutes to allow myself enough time to wake up, I mean, this was my routine. I would wake up at 3:15. I would get ready. I would drive to the radio station and I would go sit in a studio by myself for 30 minutes and I would meditate while all the producers and co-hosts and everybody were showing up and getting busy. I was just chilling out in the room. And what was so cool about that, to give some weight to some of the things that you've said today and in our last session together, was all these great show ideas would come to me. I would come out of that meditation. I'd be like, I got the whole day planned. I got it all figured out. This is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And I think, oh my God, when you discover the wonder of this, what you're talking about, you're so excited to get into that quiet with yourself and to prioritize yourself, because you know that those whispers, those knowings, those intuitions, those, like right now, for example, pretty much every time I get major interview requests, like written interviews, or when I get, or when I'm doing a client summary or whatever, I used to sit at my computer and really just like, you know, labor over whatever that assignment was. Now I literally, like I was saying before, I go lay down. I will take my phone. I turn data off. I'll have my phone. I'll dictate the answers that come to me. And now if you had told me, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when I was roughing it out in that busy, busy world, that I would be doing that and that I would just be getting these answers and these things would just be flowing through me, I would have looked at you and been like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Uh-huh. Which is what people are doing right now as they're listening to it. They're like, yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But like your confirmation, I'm confirmation, loads of people that I've worked with, really people at quote unquote performing at very high levels, playing at really high levels, like they're delegating more to that intelligence that courses through all of us than the average person, much more. And the ways that they're doing it are varied. Like you called it meditation. I might go into something that I call meditation, or I might just go lay down I'll just grab my phone. I just lay down. I'm just relaxing. It's when you find it, you don't want to, like, it's the most exciting thing ever. Cause you're like, wait, this thing that they said about being inspired, it actually exists. Yes. And it's right there. It's for all of us. It's not just the few lucky ones.
And don't you kind of feel like this is how we could have answered one of those questions in the first episode we did together, where I asked you, I said, how do people develop trust in themselves? And this is kind of one of the ways to do it, is to get into a practice and start to build trust with, okay, you know what? Every time I sit down and I get quiet, some things are coming to me. Okay, I'm gonna do that again. I'm gonna do that again. And then you get good at it and you start to trust yourself in those moments that, like, well, what I don't need to do is keep pressing, keep grinding, keep moving, keep doing. Right. And what I need to do is I just need to stop and be. And so Just a quick tip I feel compelled to mention to people is one of my absolute go-to favorite tips in the world is to get everywhere you need to be 15 minutes early and sit in your car for 10 minutes. Yeah. And just, it's such an easy thing and an easy way to manage your time. Just get there 15 minutes early, sit in the parking lot and chill the frank out for a couple of minutes, just you and your head and your breath and whatever else you want to do. But man, just doing that puts you in such a great headspace for whatever's getting ready to happen next. So I just wanted to mention that. And I think that's worth saying. So let's keep going on this time management piece. For folks who are busy, and there's a lot of us out there who are just doing and doing and doing, are you suggesting, or are we suggesting, I don't want to put you on the spot, are we suggesting that they are filling their days with a bunch of nonsense? Are we suggesting that they probably have things in their lives that can go by the wayside, that they are just, that are like filler for them because they don't want to sit and be, and they're just better off when they're always doing something? Is that something? Can we poke the bear a little bit?
Yeah, this is a fantastic question because it, for me, it brings up the Pareto principle.
Okay.
Or what's often called the 80-20 rule.
All right. What is this?
What I've seen is more like 90-10 or 95-5, which is that 95%, 90, maybe 80% of your results are coming from that 5% or 10% or 20% of your efforts.
Got it.
So there's really only a small percentage. And the better you get at understanding this, the greater that percentage becomes, in the sense that you will only be putting in maybe 5% of the effort and be getting 95% of that result. And you will know what that 5% is. It's like Archimedes, when he said, give me a lever long enough and a fulcrum on which to put it, and I will move the world. Hmm. Like, that's what we're talking about here. It's pretty powerful stuff, knowing that most of the time, the busy, busy, busy is actually just, I'm just buzzing around. Which, by the way, when you get quiet, like we're talking about, there's going to be this, the part of the mind that's like, no, I don't know. And all this the onslaught of thought and things that, you know, whatever you have to do, whatever, if you can bear with that, if you can stay in the white fire of it, on the other side is understanding more and more what that 5% is for you, or that 10%, or maybe for now it's 20%. But you start to really understand this thing is important, this thing. So for me, one of the biggest questions of like when people ask, what should I focus on? There are very specific things to you. They're specific to you. Like, you can't delegate them. You can't, you have to take care of them, whatever that looks like. But understanding, okay, what are those things, and what is all the rest that's just noise? How can I start to just lessen some of that noise, whether that's literally the way we're talking about getting quiet and starting to have more of those answers come up and emerge for us, or whether that's also in the sense of like, there's physical noise around, you know, there's actions that we're taking that are not conducive to, or should I say, they're not lending themselves to our happiness, our fulfillment, whatever that looks like. I think here, when I talk about time, mostly I want, there's different dimensions that I talk about, but the central one that I think is important for us to just kind of highlight here is like, when you're focused on things, and I mentioned it before, but like really important to you, but maybe not necessarily have that sense of urgency. And if you can learn to start to prioritize some of those things, again, you're going to get that time flip scenario, the lever, you're going to start to understand what the lever is. Like, you talked about meditation. You can't have someone else meditate for you. Like, you can't have someone else do your workout. You can't have someone else connect with your kids in the sense like of that time that you want to have with your child. Like, you can't say, oh, someone else can do that for me. No one else can do that for you. There are lots of things that other people can do or that you can let go of if you get honest with yourself and you really look at it. But there's those important things that we all say, well, there's tomorrow. One of the things that really helps me with this is also just realizing like our mortality.
Yeah, it's such a great statement to make. I'm glad you said it. Not enough people consider it.
Right. It's like, I mean, I thought about that recently. My daughter really wanted to take a trip and I was like, well, hey, I'm not planning on kicking the bucket anytime soon, but like, would this be something that I regretted not doing or not doing together if you know, tomorrow wasn't like the things, if I'm not going to be here in a couple of weeks or whatever. I mean, I know that might sound morbid, but it's actually, for me, it's actually just this beautiful way of realizing like, hey, no, this thing's important. Let's just do it. Let's just go for it.
I'm going to put you and I on the spot. Do you mind? Do you mind if I put you and I on the spot a little bit?
I love it. Do it. Let's go.
So, okay. With this idea of being busy and all of the things that come with it, isn't there a time to be busy? Isn't there a time to grind your ass off? Isn't there a time to stack it all up at the same time and get after it? Because what I'm thinking about, and the reason I'm putting both of us on the spot, is we both had really unbelievable careers for 20 plus years. And we got to do jobs that people dream about, that people talk about, that people say, one day I wanna, you know, like you and I both had that gig. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you would have had that gig. I don't think I would have had that gig if I wasn't in that space of, yes, like, of course I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. Yeah. Is that an opportunity? I'm in. Is that, oh, I'm in. Put me up, sign me up for that. I'm only going to sleep 4 hours, but that's fine. I'll suck it up for a couple of days because I know this is what it's going to take to get to this place. And so I think we have to kind of recognize that there was a time for us to be real busy and for us to stack a lot of stuff. But then you eventually, you get to a point. The problem is that works until it doesn't. That's kind of how I like to phrase things. And so that's a really good strategy for a period of time, but you cannot sustain that for life. That'll just kill you. It almost killed me and I'm sure it almost killed you. So the question is, isn't there a time to be busy? I know. What do you think about that? Because you had to do it.
Yeah. You know what I think you're talking about that's even deeper is what Napoleon Hill called a burning desire.
Okay.
Like we had this burning desire. We both had it. Probably if someone's listening to this and they've listened this far and they've listened to our other episodes, they have it too. There's this thing. It's actually in all of us. It's like a flame. And when you fan it and you start to realize like, that's it, you know, there's this, it's, we all have it, but in some cases, like it might be so dim that some of us don't recognize it or we don't know it, but there's others of us who know it. Like it's this burning desire to expand. And at first, we think that expansion, at least I can speak for myself, is in some sort of external like achievement and thing that we can, once, you know, we're that light, like that sensation that there's more. And we go after it like that. And a lot of us do that. And so to your question, I think that's great. But there's a point that you get to where you realize it's also not it. Like the intention of expansion, of expanding into your potentials is all of a sudden, like, it's not about anything. You realize like what a folly it was to believe that it was something external to you, mm-hmm. that it was a position, that it was a amount of money in the bank or whatever. The irony of that is that when you really fully do realize that, all of those things, they do come, but they don't have, and they come in spades, maybe even more than, you know, you would have ever tried in the achieving department. And this is what we're talking about when we say, oh, like those things came in, these messages, that's the richness, that's the wealth, that's the expansion, that's the expanding into these endless potentials that are available to us. And I think that's what we were seeking all along. I think that's what everyone's seeking, whether they're more or less aware of it, but it's like, show me the truth of what I am, which is your all of it. And that gnawing sense of that is like, there's more. And so, yeah, I think it does have a place. I just think that it's misplaced when it's about achieving or like showing that I'm busy or whatever. I think it's just misplaced, but it's an honest attempt at really knowing like how far you can go, how great you can be, how great you can be.
Yeah, I think I would answer my question by saying I'm a music guy, and so I think of things like as a volume knob. And I say, yeah, there is a time to turn it up to 10, and there's a time to turn it back down to 0, and there's a time to put it at 4, and there's a time to put it down at 2, and there's a time to turn it back up to 8. And that's the thing that I wish I would have learned a lot sooner in my career, was that I'm actually in control of the volume knob. Mm-hmm. Nobody else. Like, I'm actually in control of the volume knob. And for many, many, many years, it felt like to me, somebody else had their hand on my knob. And I was like, get your hands off my knob. I don't want this any longer, right? And I don't know if you resonate with that statement, but I think a lot of people probably fall into that category where they've sort of forgotten that they're in control of what's happening to them. And that, to me at least, it happened a couple of different ways. And number one, and probably the most important to articulate for our conversation, is just that, like, it was this idea of control. I had completely given up control, and I had stopped asking myself, what do you need? What do you need in this moment? What's important to you in this moment? And I just kept going and doing when I just needed to stop and be, right? Like that's one of my favorite things to say to people. And then there's this Celine Dion quote that I love, 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 which is, you don't have to be good all the time. You have to be good when it's time. Ooh, and isn't that so awesome?
So good, yeah.
And it's such a great quote because it really does articulate that busy lifestyle that we all have. It's like, girl, you don't have to be that busy all the time. You just got to get after it when it's time and know when to sort of turn that volume down. Now, let's keep moving because we're talking about time management here, and this is something that a lot of people struggle with. And so I think if we've given any kind of tips today, it's like, all right, get quiet, get intentional, give the morning to yourself, get your email answered in chunks of the day. Don't feel like that's got to be, you know, on and you have to hit back as soon as somebody sends you an email. What else is there to time management? Is it, to me, it would seem like you need to prioritize the most basic things like sleep, food, water. And we don't, like you even said earlier, right? I'd be eating a sandwich, I'd be sending an email and somebody's talking to me in my office. Like all three things were happening simultaneously when I don't think that's probably your story today.
No, not at all. I think one of the other things that that can be helpful for people to realize about time is definitely for sure what we've been talking about of like prioritizing what's important, but also giving that a specific time. Like one of the things that I notice a lot, this phenomenon called Parkinson's Law, which is that a task will expand to the time that is allotted for it. Right? So it's like, oh, I have 10 days to take care of that thing, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, shoot, you know, or maybe you spend an exorbitant amount of time on something that really didn't require that. So I think starting to get, again, it requires a kind of an honesty and a discipline at first. But what's exciting about it is if you say like, okay, realistically here, how long would it take me? Like, for example, someone who wants to get a website up. I mean, let's be realistic. Right now, this day and age, it doesn't take you a year to do that. I mean, it very well could have, like, you know, however many years ago when we first started in this game. But like now, you know, you could get a nice website up in a day, in even half a day. You could get a nice website. You could have it up. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. Would it be the ultimate end website that you want for your business? Maybe not, but it's up and you've got that done. And I think one of the things that lots of times handicaps people is like they make things seem a lot bigger than they are. And then they delay it and they delay it. And then all of a sudden, maybe it comes to a point where they actually have some real demand and then they get on it. But it's like, well, what if we just relax around this idea that, hey, okay, let's just throw this out there. Let's have fun. I think that, and that's why I know where we're going in our next episode, but like, What if we just decided to like have fun with this thing and say, all right, this is my half day project. This is my 2 hour project. Last year I was putting out my second book and I gave myself a very specific timeline. It was very ambitious. I was like, I'm going to write a chapter a week. I mean, I could have written a chapter in the year and I didn't have there was nothing outside of me that said, now, okay, no, you have to write your second book. I mean, there was definitely a demand for it, but it was more that inner motivation and then putting a very specific, like, okay, I'm going to do it this way. Now, I didn't get the chapter, just in all honesty, I didn't get every week a chapter out, but I got pretty darn close to it. It was more like 10 days per chapter that I was looking at. And then you move into other phases of that. Like, okay, now there's the publishing and now there's the marketing. Now there's this, now there's that.
I'm laughing at you because literally yesterday, I was going to pull this up on my phone and show this to you, but literally yesterday, because I struggle with this so much, it's such a thing for me. Like what you're saying right now is going, that just keeps beating me over the head. I literally ordered, I think they call it a Pomodoro or something. There's a name for it. You know, time out. Yeah. And it's a, mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm going to use that from now on to start managing my time. And it literally is a time management tool because people like me, I suck at it. And what you just said a second ago about the project will take as much time as, you know, whatever, however you phrase that. That's me. It's like, well, I got all day. I can probably work on this. But if I set a timer and I'm like, all right, 15 minutes, you're going hard for the next 15 minutes and then you're going to set it down for the rest of the day, I probably would jam out and get so much done.
Oh yeah. That is actually a huge time secret it's the exact same as the Pareto principle that I was talking about. It's an Italian guy, Pareto o Pomodoro, which is the tomato. That was the 80-20. That was like 20% of your efforts creating 80%. So this is the, I love it because for me, when I'm working on whatever it is, I will almost always set a timer. Almost always.
Really?
Almost always. Okay. So I'm not either the one who's like, oh yeah, this is just so easy for me. I'm like, oh crap. Okay. Now I got to set this timer and do this thing. But I will say that there's this beautiful, I think kind of almost synergy between your efforting and then letting something else come in to help you that we've been talking about too. And I think it's really important for people to allow for both things. Like, relax and then effort, relax and then effort. And I find for me personally that kind of, if we were looking, you asked for a formula earlier, that would probably be the closest I could come to explaining. You know, lots of times people say, well, you have this huge body of work. I'm like, well, yeah, but it was one word at a time. It was one 20-minute block at a time. It was, you know, that was what it was. And now, yeah, and now it's all of that, but it didn't just magically appear, but there are things that do kind of magically appear to help you when you're putting in that kind of effort.
All right. As we wind down time management, part two of our three-part series, and by the way, humor, adding fun to your life is going to be part three. I'm really looking forward to that. You write about in your book, this permission to opt out. And so we need to wrap up and we need to give everybody listening permission to opt out. One of the things that I like to talk to young parents about is, because we all experience this, and if you've got multiple kids, it's even harder, but like when your kids get into activities, right, when they get to be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then, you know, all the way through high school, and they get into activities, especially when they're little, there's a lot of pressure to be at all the things and to do all of the things. So you're like, well, I've got to drive them to practice and I've got to be the snack dad and the snack mom. And then I've got to watch practice and then I've got to drive them home. And then we got to go over to Billy's house because we're having a play date. And there's like a million things that can happen for parents, especially if you've got kids that are busy. And I like to give people permission to skip practice. I like to say, how about you carpool with the three other close buddies that you've got on the team or the dance or the whatever the thing is, and you guys share the practice so that at least once a week you have a couple of hours where you don't need to be in that space. So what are some of the things that you share with, you know, your clients, your friends, maybe it's stuff that you've written about in your book, on this idea of permission to opt out. Opt out of what?
Yeah. So when I wrote opting out, it was like, we're so opted in for everything, right? It's not just those really important things like being with our kids when they need us or whatever, but it's even a bunch of newsletters or whatever it looks like then. And here's the thing, if those things are actually moving you forward and giving you that sense of motivation, inspiration, fantastic. Like if they're not, it's noise. It's noise. And just starting to really get honest with yourself of like, where's the noise? And also, where are those things in my life that I'm doing more because of maybe how others might perceive me? Or I'm doing it because I feel some sort of sense of obligation that's not even maybe a real obligation, but I feel somehow like that's there. So I think there's kind of a coming to Jesus moment that has to happen inside of us when we decide to take back our time and use it in ways that feel really good to us versus just, again, it's reminding me of the book conversation we had in our very first talk together of like, oh, but this is just how it is. Well, it doesn't all have to be like that. Little experiments, but really getting started with them. The other thing that's really helpful for time, because there's so much, I mean, I could go on and on. Time is one of my favorite discussions too, and how to work with it. But the other thing that can be highly helpful for people when they're looking at wanting to do something new is linking it to something that's already existing in their pattern. So like, say you do drive Timmy to the game and you're sitting there, but you've been really wanting to listen to these podcasts that give you that motivation. Well, you're still watching, but maybe instead of all the other external noise and craziness, you could pop one earbud in and just listen to something that's moving you or inspiring you. Or I used to do something really funny. People used to make fun of me for this, but I used to go I wanted to start to learn to do push-ups, and every time I would go to the bathroom, I would do like 5 or 10 push-ups or something. And I'm telling you, oh my God, my arms never looked better. It was amazing. But I was associating this new habit that I wanted with something else. And I was doing a little bit, like not massive amounts, but a little bit. And it was really funny because after a while, I was traveling so much and it just became a little bit like it wasn't really working out. I'll probably go back to it at some point, but it wasn't really working out for me. So I kind of stopped. But every single time I went to the bathroom after that, it was like that my body wanted to just go and do some push-ups because I had learned it, right? But it's associating patterns, associating habits can be very helpful, making it as easy for yourself as possible to do the things. Experiment. Don't be afraid to experiment. Like what gets us into ruts is the rut itself is like the fact that we just are running the same course over and over. So yeah, play. Okay.
I like it. And for everybody listening, be on the lookout for Courtney's new books. The first one is going to be called Push Up While You Pee. And the second, the sequel will be Push Up While You Poop. And they are enlightening, insightful books that will really sculpt your arms. And I think you're onto something here, girl.
Thank you. I was looking for the title of my next book. Thank you, Matthew. I really appreciate that.
How many copies would you sell of Push Up While You Pee? I mean, honestly.
A gazillion, at least.
A gazillion. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay. So have we left anything on the table? Do you feel as though there's something that we haven't gone into with regards to time management and how people can do a better job? And just to recap, we're getting quiet. We're getting intentional. We're turning off the phone. We're renting out a conference room if we have to just get by ourselves for a little while at work. We're emailing in chunks of the day, not all day long. We're going to set a timer when there's tasks that we know we need to do. We're going to actually get out a piece of paper. We're going to go. And I was thinking about this as you were saying, it's almost like somebody who's trying to lose weight where their coach might say, I want you to write down every single thing you put into your body that day, everything you drink, everything you eat. And I think you're challenging people to do the same thing with their day. I want you to write down everything you do from the moment you wake up until you go to sleep and then find out where that noise is. And then once you discover that, then, you know, it becomes easier to see what you need to eliminate from your diet. And then lastly, do push-ups while you pee. I think that's kind of, that's where things have gone today.
I love love it. I love it. And I do have a whole time model of the, like what some of what we've been talking about, but for you to take that kind of really honest inventory, and it goes from distraction to delusion to demand to design. And when you are doing a lot of what we're talking about here, you're living much more in that frequency of design, where you are actually the, you feel like you are writing the script, and you get out of these other ones. So yeah, I think that's quite a bit for this one.
It's quite a bit. It's a lot of things. But here's the thing, is like with any kind of transformation in your life, you have to find a starting point. And we're not suggesting that you do all of these things. It's like, you know, don't listen to our podcast today and then tomorrow decide, okay, I'm going to wake up 30 minutes early. I'm going to be quiet. I'm only going to email chunks. I'm going to, you know, do this thing with lunch. I'm not going to, you know, don't do all of the things. Do the one thing that sort of resonates with you. Like, as you've been listening to us, you're thinking, you know what? I would like to wake up. I can have the capacity to wake up 30 minutes early. I have the capacity to get to things 15 minutes early and just sit in my car. I have the capacity to listen to a podcast while I watch my kids do their sporting events and these types of things. And then once you've mastered that, stack something else on top of it. Start to build your habits instead of saying, I need to do all of them at the same time. All right, part three is going to be so fun. See what I did there? It's going to be so fun because it's going to be about adding humor to your life and the importance of that. And it really is as far as I can tell and understand, one of the key ingredients to self-care. And it's often overlooked. And so we're going to talk about how to add humor into your life, the importance of fun, and we'll look forward to doing that on episode three with you, Courtney. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
We have three goals with Learn from People Who Lived It. 1, to help you feel less alone. 2, encourage you to seek out a coach, a therapist, a church, anyone who can help you get through your journey and find some healing. 3, when you're ready, share your story with us.
Find Learn from People Who Lived It wherever you get podcasts. Search it using all one word. Learn from People Who Lived It.